You know, we've tried to bring out some things that are, some of them have been a little bit strong for some of the people and that they did not understand. But we've tried to make it as clear as we could. That is, when we preach from the book of Revelation or taught from the book of Revelation, we've tried to comment as much as we could on some of the things to make it clear, because I'm persuaded to believe that we're living right now in the book of Revelation. I believe that that is why that everything is being revealed the way it is. But I want you to notice here in the 10th chapter that we've been reading in, the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th, we've referred back to those three chapters because they have to do with the closing out of the age. And as a consequence of reading from those, we've gleaned quite a few things. Let's read again the chapter that we're referring to tonight and just maybe ponder just a little bit on these things. In chapter 10, let's go back and read chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, I want to say this again. If you'll notice, in the seventh verse of the 10th chapter, the angel said to John, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mysteries of God, or the mystery, singular, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, it does not say mysteries. The word mystery, here the Bible uses the term, great is the mystery of godliness. So then what the whole thing is about is the mystery. Though Paul uses the terms, he's made a steward of the mystery, or the mysteries of God. And the terms is, great is the mystery, or mysteries of God. Yet in all reality, it is the mystery of godliness. Now I know when the Bible speaks of mysteries, it speaks of the mystery of the kingdom. It speaks of the mystery of godliness. It speaks of the satanic mystery. All of it is a mystery. The mystery of iniquity. But he said here, when in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. It is said here to John that he is not to write down the thunders, nor to attempt to understand what the thunders has uttered so far as telling anybody. But the angel does tell John that in the days of the voice, then the mysteries of the thunders will be made known. Now you say, Brother Pike, how can you say that it says the mysteries of the thunders will be made known? I say that for this reason. John was writing down the thunders, and the angel of God stopped him, wanting to leave the thunders as a mystery. And so then he said to John, there's no need to write them down, John, or I won't have it that way. You're not to do that. But he said in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mystery of God shall be finished. Which makes me to know that if the thunders are a mystery, and the angel stopped John from writing it, then that is the mystery that God was referring to as well as the other. That in the days of the voice of the sounding of that angel, and according to the Bible, it will be a voice. Now, let's look at it for just a minute and see. In the days of the sounding of the voice. First of all, let's go back and refresh our mind on this. What kind of voice is this? What kind of angel is this? How did this thing come about? Though we've spoke of it numbers of times and pointed out what it is about numbers of times, yet we have a tendency to forget. And the writer said, I feel it my duty to stir up your mind and bring these things to your remembrance, though you know them. Now, when you think about this, we have to remember that we are talking about the sounding of a trumpet. That is one trumpet of seven trumpets that was supposed to sound. And that is immediately after the 30 minutes of silence in heaven. These seven trumpets are to sound after the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, where John bears record that a great multitude that no man could number was caught up into the presence of God and stood before the throne of the Lamb. In that chapter, he bore record that there was 144,000 that was sealed, that was later seen upon Mount Zion. Now, immediately following the catching up of this great multitude, John said, I saw these seven trumpets, and they were prepared to sound. And he began to explain as each one of them sounded, and as each trumpeter sounded, there was a great calamity that began to befall the earth. But remember, silence in heaven for 30 minutes. And the angel of God had approached the little golden altar before the throne of God. The angel had taken a censer filled with the prayers of the saints, had put this little coal from the altar into the censer, had taken the censer and slung it down on the earth. And the Bible said there was lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes. At this moment, it was evident that the blood was coming off of the mercy seat. Now, as this happened, it appears to me that it was evident that somewhere, somehow or another, that the great calamities that was to befall the earth began to take place. That is to say, things begin to happen. And as these things begin to take place, it must have indicated the atomic war that the people are so much in dread of right now. Lightning flashing undoubtedly had to do with bombs bursting. The calamity that was befalling the earth and the people, it must have been a great warfare. And John said the sight was so terrible that I saw the islands move out of their places. The whole earth went into a great convulsion. I saw these great things happen. I saw seven angels as they prepared to sound. One of them sounded, and he said he saw this fire, this blood, mingled with hailstones as it came down out of heaven. He saw the waters turn to wormwood and become bitter, and men died of those things. He saw the great bodies of the heavens as God dealt with them, and the sun smitten, and all these things. He saw the power of the wrath of God fall upon mankind. Why? Because apparently that 30 minutes of silence indicated the blood coming off of the mercy seat. Now then, John said one of these sounded, another sounded, and he went on down until finally he got to the seventh angel. And this is where the voice of the seventh angel came from. One of them sounded, another sounded, the locust came upon the earth, the bottomless pit was open. All of these things begin to happen to mankind. But finally, just before the sounding of that last trumpeter, whereas the Bible said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Now John said, I saw seven angels with seven trumpets, and they were about to sound. But the Bible says, when it got down to the last trumpeter, it said, in the days of the voice of this seventh angel. It is evident, therefore, that those trumpets that the Bible refers to had to do with voices. The Bible says in one place, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. So then it is evident that voices are likened to trumpets. Whereas we use natural trumpets, God uses human voices for his sounding. And when he speaks of the trump of God, which is the last trump to sound, it is referring to the voice of the Son of God. The voice of the Son of God is the trump of God, and the last trump that shall sound. Whereas this angel, believe it or not, has to do with the trump of God. That angel of Revelation 10 intervened between the sixth and the seventh trumpet for a reason. The last three of the seven trumpets was called the three woes. Woe, woe, woe. And the divine intervention was between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, or the second and the third woe. Revelation 10 says this great angel that cried out that in the days of the voice, seven thunders uttered their voices. And then he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Why was the angel of Revelation 10 so concerned about
the voice of the seventh angel more so than the voice of the other angels. One of the reasons is because once the seventh angel sounded, there would be no more of the world. There would be no more of the mysteries. There would be no more of the things of God that was yet to come. And he wanted to give a foreword of preparation, to just to say, remember, six of them have sounded. There is but one more that must sound. And when this one sounds, then it will be the finishing of everything. For in the days of the voice of the last angel, I want you to listen. These angels are sounding after the church has been raptured. Are you listening? This is the sounding of voices of trumpeters after that John in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation has already been caught up into heaven, being typical of the church. The church ages has already come to a close in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. John in the fourth chapter has already went up. He has already seen the throne and the elders around the throne and the beast. In the fifth chapter, he's already beheld the book with the seals. And he watched through the sixth chapter to the loosening of the seals. And then in the seventh chapter, he saw the sealing of the 144,000. He saw those that was caught up to the throne of God. He's already beheld in the first chapter him standing in the midst of the candlesticks, and the second and third chapter of the church ages. John has already saw this. He has already seen the opening of the seals and the riders. He's already seen those that were under the altar crying how long. Already seen in the sixth seal the opening as a scroll of the heavens and people crying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. He is already beholding the great blood-washed throne of people that is caught up into the very presence of Almighty God. He's already seeing this in heaven. He looks into the heavens and he sees this great white throne, and he sees this great people that's of every nationality of the earth, and they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they're standing before the throne of the Almighty God. Then he looks down into the earth and he sees 144,000 that has been sealed with the seal of God. And they are protected from the four winds that are to blow upon the earth. He sees this. But then, after this, immediately there is silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. And then seven angels begin to sound. And as they sound, these great calamities befall the earth that I made mention of the locusts coming out of the bottomless pit, of these great powers of the horses, the fire, the jacinth, the brimstone. All of these great things happen. Then the three woes, three of the seven soundings, and then down to the last trumpet, and here the divine intervention of Revelation 10, the angel steps out with the rainbow about his head, and then he speaks up. Now this is a real outstanding place in the scriptures, because it is at this very point that the declaration is made. As the angel sets one foot on the land and one on the sea, the angel raises his hands to heaven and he swears by him that liveth forever and ever, that time shall be no more. This is why he intervened, because the last trumpet was fixing to be sounded. The very last trumpet was fixing to blast out. So he intervened to say, people, the end of the world has come. The end of time is here. And he declared that time shall be no more. For in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, there won't be any more time. In the days of that voice, there won't be any more time. Time shall be no longer. For in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God shall be finished. When God unveils all that he's going to unveil, then, my brother, sister, there will be no more time. How beautiful for them that understand Revelation. For them that can move into the Spirit and see what God is saying. How beautiful it is. For when the mysteries of God are finished, there shall be no more time. How is it that this angel can be so bold as to stand and declare that time shall be no more, just because one angel is going to sound when many angels have been sounding, when seals have been loosened and great angels have made proclamations? But all of a sudden he waxed bold and he said, but when this angel sounds, when this angel sounds, there won't be any time any longer. How could he say that? On the strength of one thing. On the strength of one thing. He knew that if there was no more mystery, there was no more time. Did you know that time consists of the veil? That time consists only of that which is unrevealed or that which is hidden? Did you know that time does not exist in that which is revealed or that which is revelated? Anything that is not revelated, anything that is a mystery, anything that is within the veil, it means it is time. But anything that is unveiled, anything that is uncovered is not time, it is eternity. Because that which is revealed, that which is unveiled, it has no time limit to it. It is from now on. It is forever. It is a treasure of the understanding in the mind of God that will never have a time limit placed upon it. It is spirit and it is life. It is quickening. So then the angel could boldly say, that time shall be no longer, because when this angel sounds, the mystery of God should be finished. Go back to the garden. Look at the fall of Adam and Eve. See where time begun. Now you know we've got a tape here where we preach on time. We've got a tape here where we preach about how time begun, how it got started, what time is. And time consists of only one thing, and that is of shadows. Are you listening? Look at the fall in the garden. How did time get started? There was no such thing as time before Adam and Eve fell from the garden. But just as quick as the intellectual veil of the understanding of Lucifer from the tree of knowledge, just as quick as that understanding fell over the mind of God's people, time set in. Time set in. Because the death veil that God said is not my covering. You're naked, Adam and Eve. You're covering with a covering that's not of me. You're trying to cover yourself, as I've said so many times, with the leaves of the tree. But you can't do that. There's a covering that comes from God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh. For what shall you give in exchange for your soul in that day? Can you give me gold and silver that I would give you your soul back? You cannot make an exchange with me. Therefore, Adam and Eve, thou art naked. Who told thee that thou wast naked? You cover with a covering, but not of me. Not the covering of my glory. It is not the covering of my glory. So then the veil of death, the intellectual reasoning, the darkness that God spoke of, the veil that was over Rebekah's face when she came to Isaac, that which makes a shame face in the presence of our God, that veil that is done away with in Christ, that veil that Paul said is still over the Old Testament teachings, untaken away even unto this day when it comes to the Jewish people or to the intellectual reasoning. But he said this veil melts away like the sunlight hitting the snow to reveal the underneath vegetation. It is done away with in Christ. When this great light of God comes, the veil melts away. The intellect is done away with. Things are no more temporal. Things are no more a shadow. Things are no more a darkness. Things are no more a covering. But God penetrates the veil. At Calvary, God rent the veil, penetrated the veil, done away with the veil. He said with the brightness of the coming of God that he would consume the veil, destroying the man of perdition, which is an intellectual power. And I will do away with him that sitteth in the temple of God. That is the infiltration that showeth himself that he is God. For man is God's temple. And I will eradicate from the temple, and I will sanctify the temple, and I will anoint the temple, and I will possess the temple, and I will fill the temple as the Holy Spirit. So then, the angel could say, time shall be no more. Because the eradication of all of that which is typical would be brought to pass. That which was a type and a shadow of the old, that was God within the veil. Abraham's wives being typical of New Jerusalem, being typical of old Jerusalem. The children being typical of the bond child and the free child. There won't be any more of that. There won't be any more types. There won't be any more shadows. Therefore, there won't be any more time. From the moment that this veil fell upon humanity, death was over them. Because they become time creatures. Anything that becomes a time creature, he is under the penalty of death. He is reckoned as one that must die. If he be on death row, it may be 3 months. Whatever they give, according to the judge's action, such is the time limit as to the death of the individual. Anybody that is under the penalty of the judgments of God, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Anybody under that penalty, anybody partaking of the tree of knowledge, anybody that's leaning to their own understanding is under the veil of death. And the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, because it is the veil of death. Therefore, if you're in your own human reasoning, you must die, because you're born to the first man, Adam. But if you're born again of the Spirit, you pass from death unto life. Because the veil is taken away. There is no more veil. It is forever gone. So then when we think about this time creature, we know that from the garden, time has set in. And then from that time on, as we say, man began to realize that he had to work within that little period of the sun coming up and the sun going down. And he sought to find out how that he could do it. And so he watched the shadows. He watched the sun come up. He watched the sun go down. And then he began to set up, as we say, a little stick in the earth, a little dial in the earth. And he watched that shadow. And he drawed a circle around it. And he began to break it down in numerical order. The devil always works by number. He began to break it down to where he could know how to work in the spirit of time. And so then he broke it down as the shatter moved. He broke it down. He broke it down into 1, 2, 3. Finally, we have what we call time. The dial began to show the movement of the shattered, how long it took from 1 to 2 and from 2 to 3. And thus man became acquainted with time. And thus numerical order was instigated in the mind of man. And man began to count his days. And man began to count his years. And man began to say, I'm 1 day old and 2 days old, as we would say. Our mothers would say that concerning the babies. And then 10 years old and 15 years old and 25 years old, according to the hours, according to the minutes, according to the seconds, according to the days, according to the months. We brought out how that scientists, the scientific mind, has determined by the sun cycles, the months and the years of 365 days in a year. We brought out how that the Antichrist would change the times and the seasons to his benefit. But this time element, as we so often say, the time element, God is not a time creature. Adam and Eve was not a time creature in their origin. Angels are not a time creature because the Bible said angels cannot die. Therefore, they that are counted for as the resurrection are equal to the angels and cannot die. That means that they are spirit. Anything that is in the spirit. Whereas the Bible said, I make my angels spirits. Angels cannot die. If you are a time creature, then you are a subject of death. And so then from that point of living, as we say, of the fall of that experience of the garden, the excommunication, all the way over to what we call the consummation of the world. The angel of Revelation 10, putting a foot on the land and sea, declaring that time should be no more. From the moment of instigation of time, all the way over to the consummation of time. Here we see a little time period. A little period of 6,000 years called the days of God's work. And the last one being the seventh of the millennium, the day of rest with God. And we see this time system. Just a little tiny speck from beginning to end. Just a little tiny speck from the time it starts until the time that it ends. Just a little tiny shadow that falls across the pathway of eternity. Never been any time in eternity. There will never be any more time in eternity. But just this one little place falling across the path of God to consume mankind. And so then when we think of these things, we see that we become time creatures. But why are we time creatures? The Bible said, why will you die, O Israel? Why must I be a time creature? I wasn't born to be a time creature. God didn't make Adam and Eve to be a time creature. Why then must I die? Somebody would say, well, God said you must die. The Bible said that death came by man, not by God. God has nothing to do with death. Death is not God's friend. Death is God's enemy. God hates death because death brought in the shadow. David said, yea, though I walk through this valley down here in this world as God looks down upon me and the shadow of death falls between me and between him, I will fear no evil for thou art with me. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. The rod of your word, the staff of your Holy Spirit, comforts me. You prepare a table before me, and you feed me with the charity of your own love. I will fear no evil, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. For someday the sun shall break over the horizon, and the shadow shall be gone, And the angel say, time shall be no more. For time is gone. And with time, no more death. For it will be gone forever. Thus, when time fell, the veil, the shadow, the covering, falling between man and God, the middle wall of partition, the instigation of human reasoning, the satanic infiltration. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, the condemnation that has separated me from God. Not because I have sinned, but because the devil has sinned. And because he has infiltrated my being, I am blamed with it. And God doesn't want me blamed with it. Therefore, I am justified in the sight of God, holy and sanctified in the sight of God. And God shall eradicate the shatters. And God shall do away with death. He did it at Calvary. He done away with it. He said, I beheld Satan or Lucifer fall from heaven. I saw him as though it was the lightning. I saw him cast out. I saw the middle wall of partition broke down. And now, John, there is a door that's open in heaven. Come up hither. Paul, through the revelation of Jesus Christ, went right up to the third heaven. Old brother Enoch, by faith, bypassed the whole thing that he should not see death. Isn't that wonderful, wonderful thought? So then time fell upon us. Thus Satan indoctrinated man's mind with the idea that he must die. For I was alive without the law. But when the law that brought all of these types and shatters, the law that brought all of this discipline, the law that told me to do all of these things that I could never do, when this came, it became a tree of death to me. It became a knowledge of condemnation and shortcomings. For who am I? I'm sold under sin. I can't measure up to God. I can't do what God does. Therefore, I must have somebody to do it for me. And who will do it for me? Jesus said, I will go. I will go. And what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God, that you believe on him whom the Father has sent. Hallelujah. The works was finished from the foundation of the world, when the Lamb was slain in the foreknowledge of God, and we were elected unto grace by foreknowledge, predestinated unto good works. Through Jesus Christ. Thus God has accepted me through the good works of Jesus Christ. I am complete in him. I have no shortcomings in him. For he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And who are the sanctified? We. For God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And sanctified them once and for all. By the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. So then the veil of death. The time. That period of time that got in there, those shadows that fell across our path, that covering that we've covered with that has not been of God, the shadow, the time, the little dial clock, the reasoning, 1, 2, 3, 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, open the box, I'll get in, close me up, put me in the hole. Why do you do that? Somebody said, I'm so weary. Why are you weary? I'm 85 years old. What's that got to do with it? Where'd that come from? The devil. You say, Brother Pike, how do you get that? Because Enoch didn't get in no box, and he was way past 85. What's 85 got to do with it? What's 185 got to do with it? See, where the problem is, it's not days and times. With God, there's no time. But where the problem is unbelief. Not believing what Christ said about it. When he said, you pass from death unto life. My words are spirit, and they are life. Hallelujah. So then, where are we at? Behold, I show you a mystery. And what is the mystery? We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. Now let's listen at it just for a minute. We're going to close in just a few minutes now, but just listen a minute now. It is a truth fact that I have passed from death unto life. Is that right? You say, how, Brother Pike? If I'm passed from death into life, why do they put me in a box? Why have they been putting Christians in a box? For the simple reason that he passed from death unto life in his spirit, not in his body. He passed from death unto life in his inner man. Immediately, that inner man, as soon as he was born into the kingdom of God, he was caught up to the throne of God. Because the kingdom of God is within you. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached, men pressed their way into it. So then I passed from death unto life. What kind of death? I remind you again, the second death. What death is Jesus speaking of? If I pass from death unto life, what kind of death is he talking about? The second death. Why is it the second death? Because there is no such thing as death except the second death. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. The spirit of man is not subject to death when he is born again. There's no way he can die. Death is to be separated from God. When your spirit is separated from God's spirit, you are dead. Even if you live in this world, you're dead. He said twice dead and plucked up by the root. But if your spirit is acquainted with God, you can't die. You say, what do I do, Brother Pike, when they put me in a box? You go to sleep. Somebody said, oh yeah, that's some kind of joke. You're dead. Why don't you just say you're dead? No, brother, sister, it's not that way at all. When a man is put in a casket, if he is a child of God, he's not dead. Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awake him. But there is a difference, my brother and sister, to them that die. They're in the flames of hell. And the Bible said the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And Abraham said, we can't come down there where you're at. We can't get down there. He was dead. He was separated from God. His spirit was in the eternal damnation. He was cut off. Now you say, Brother Pike, there's no eternal hell. I know that. But the Bible does say eternal flames. Hell will give up its dead because hell is not eternal. But the Bible said the same hell, the same fire shall be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible said the lake of fire is the second death. And the Bible said the flame is not quenched. The fire don't go out. And the worm dieth not. God said, thou worm Jacob, where the fire is not quenched. For the Bible said it is eternal flames. It is a separation from God. When your spirit is appointed unto death, it means separation from God. It is separation from God. But if you are born again, you cannot die. Somebody say, Brother Pike, I'm interested in this fellow here that they're going to put in the box. That's the part I don't like. But what's that got to do with it? The Bible says the rich man died. They put his body in the ground. But the Bible said he was in hell. And the Bible said Lazarus died. They put his body in the ground. But the Bible said the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Lazarus wasn't in the ground. Neither was the rich man in the ground. So then life consists not of the body. Life consists of the spirit. So then if there's a separation of your spirit from God, you are dead. But if there's no separation of your spirit from God, you are not dead. Therefore, if you're born again, you can't die. You can't never die. Your spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit. From the time you're born again, you never sin again. He that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Not one spot Not one wrinkle, not one blemish, never a spot. Sanctified forever. He that is born of God, the Bible said, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Now, perfected forever, the bride Christ is coming back after. But, I say again, we are passed from death unto life. What kind of death? The second death. My spirit is passed from the second death. I can never die. I've been born again. But brother, there's something else that's good. And that is, Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. I'm not talking about the second death. I'm not talking about the spirit. I'm talking about closing your eyes, this body, closing its eyes and going to sleep, being put in a casket. Paul said, I show you a mystery. Not everybody's going to be put in a casket. Not everybody's going to sleep in the dirt. Not everybody's going to go in the ground. Lazarus sleeps. I go to awake him. But Paul said, not everybody's going to do like Lazarus done. There's a mystery. And the Bible says, at the sounding of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. But when the voice of the seventh angel sounds, there'll be no more mystery. What will happen? You will be made to know what Paul was talking about not sleeping. There won't be any mystery, not even of the thunders. For there will be no more mystery, for there shall be no more shadow. There shall be no more time. Therefore, there shall be no more death. For if there's no more shadow, there is no more death. This is the beautiful part of what Joshua did. When Joshua went over the Jordan, it indicated the conquering of death. When he stepped over the Jordan, he said, sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. Don't be going up and down. We got things to do. That's the way it is with man. He goes to sleep. He wakes up. Because it's symbolic. It's symbolic of dying. But you know, we made the statement not too long ago that we went over to the land of the midnight sun. You know, in doing this, you go past that time marker. You go over that to the other side to where you catch up with day. Isn't that right? You catch up with day. So you bypass night and you never see night. I said, now when we went to the land of the midnight sun, it indicated that death was conquered. That the message was here. And today was a beautiful time for a reference back to it. Because when we were over there, some of you remember Sister Lynn, how that she went to see her brother in Oslo. Now then, right at the very moment of the change, here comes her brother from the land of the midnight sun over here to where we're at. And they're gone to visit down there in our automobile today. Death conquered. I say again, somebody would say, how, Brother Pike? Paul said, alive without the law till the law comes, sin revives and I die. Because the strength of sin is by condemnation. It kills faith. And the just to live has to believe. For by faith shall they live. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. And it breaks my tie between the God in whom I trust. Jesus came to mend the broken wires. So then, when the law came, it killed me. It slew me. I was alive until condemnation came. And sin got great power over me. It got great strength over me because it kept pointing out my shortcomings, my imperfections, my wrongs, and I'm carnal, sold unto sin. I don't want to do what I'm doing, but I falter and I fail. Inwardly I desire good, but outwardly in my members there is a power, no good thing in it. It wars against the law of my mind. It brings me into captivity to the condemnation that kills my believing and confidence in God who is my life. For when he, my life, appears. So then, I was alive, he said, without that tree of knowledge. Now then, I must have a tree of life. I must have a tree of life. I made the statement, God put Satan out, put Adam out. Because when the devil got in Adam, if he got his hands on the tree of life, he could have lived forever. And the devil would have had the world, God's creation. He would have had God's person, his human being, his temple. He would have been God. God could have never destroyed him. But when God put him out of the garden, that stopped it. He never did let him get to the tree of life. But we that are born again, I say again, we're not under the Shekinah covering of God to be enticed out from under it like Adam and Eve was. We're not in the presence of eternal life. We're born of the Shekinah glory. We have the Shekinah glory on the inside of us. We have the fountain of David open inside. We're born of life. There's no way that Satan can entice us out from under it because we're born of it. There's no way for us to die. So then we are not men, we are gods. Jesus said you are gods. Gods are something that cannot die. Men die. It is appointed unto man once to die, but not unto gods. For God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death. Gods cannot die, the appointment is unto man. For gods didn't sin, men sin. Therefore we are born to the Son of God, we are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We are of the man, Christ Jesus. And the Bible said the man was not in the transgression, but the woman. Which brings it back down to the female. Or back to men, not gods. Therefore, we are not bound with time elements. We're not bound with the types and the shadows. We're not creatures of the world. We're not intellectually indoctrinated. We are born to the Shekinah Spirit of God, life in abundance, filled up and overflowing. If sin gets its strength by the law. I remind you again that the sting of death, it is sin. The sting of death is sin. Unbelief, the day that thou eatest thereof, you have sinned because you disbelieved what I told you. You disobeyed. The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. But he that is born of God cannot sin. He cannot sin. There is no sting of death to him. Death hath no power over him. Death cannot sting him. There is no sting of death. To him that is born of God, he is resurrected from the dead to never die again. He is sinless. He that is born of God cannot sin. For God's seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. He keepeth himself and the evil one toucheth him not. He never sins one time. Never in his entire life. In the foreknowledge of God, he is elected unto grace. He is without spot. He is without wrinkle. He is without blemish. And Jesus Christ died and spilt blood as a proof of his justification to say that he is not guilty. He hath no imperfection. For I've chosen him in God before the world ever was. He cannot sin. Therefore, if he cannot sin, he is not like a man. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. The reason is because man is a living soul. And the Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But brother, we are not a living soul. We are a quickening spirit. He that is born of the Spirit is spirit. He that is born of God is of the God body, of the God family. God cannot sin. In God there is no sin. He that is a quickening spirit cannot sin. He that is born of God is equal to the angels and cannot die. Why is it he cannot die? Because he cannot sin. If he could sin, he would die. But if he cannot die, it means he cannot sin. They that are counted for the resurrection. So then you are quickening spirits as the angels. You are in heaven. You're not in the earth. You're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Therefore, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven, Jesus said. I'm in heaven. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven. We're not in the flesh. We're not in the earth. If you're in the flesh, you're not born again. You can't please God. But we're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God is in you. Therefore, the body is dead because of sin, because it's man. But the Spirit is life because of new birth, because it's God. Therefore, you cannot sin because you are born of God. The sin, or the penalty of sin that you was under, Jesus that knew no sin become your sin to end your sin at Calvary, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you might become in God's sight the Son of Man who knew no sin, and that God might see you as the Son of Man. Therefore, shut up under the law, unto the faith of Jesus Christ, which came after Calvary. Shut up under the law as a tutor under this faith, which came after Calvary, the faith of justification, the faith of Jesus Christ. This faith by which you're sanctified, this faith by which you're perfected, this faith that so pleased God that he accepted it in your behalf, that you've never sinned in his sight, making Jesus your righteousness. Now then, if you cannot sin, you cannot die. Because the sting of death is sin. To die, you must sin. If you cannot sin, you cannot die. You are those that are counted for the resurrection. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Death has no sting for the children of God. Death, where is your sting? It has no sting because you cannot sin. Where is your sting? That is death. Where is sin? Where is this thing you call sin? The law gets its strength. Or sin does its strength by the law. Where is this thing that's called sin? There is no sin, because sin is the transgression of the law. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. If there's no transgression, there is no sin. And we pass from death unto life, because there is no law. They that have fallen from grace is under the law. All of the world, but we that are in grace, there is no law to us. The law is folded up and laid away. Therefore, we cannot sin, we cannot die. Now, if we cannot die, we pass from death unto life. But brother, sister, he said a mystery, we shall not all sleep. If we cannot sin, why should we sleep? Why should we bother to be put in the grave? I say again, it is no blessing to God to go to the grave. It is no blessing to God to see you rot and stink in the grave. It does not perfect you. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with being godly. You only rot and stink when you go to the grave. Therefore, it has never been God's pleasure for man to die. Death came by man, not by God. God wants us to live. You say, Brother Pike, God wants us to die and then live. God wants us to live and never die. Amen. God has no pleasure in death. If God had been in agreement with death, why did he resurrect Jesus? If he was in agreement with death, why did Peter and him resurrect the dead? If he was in agreement with death, why did he raise Lazarus from the grave? God is altogether in disagreement with death. Death doesn't come by God. God doesn't fellowship death. God doesn't have anything to do with death. Why should I fellowship death? Why should you fellowship death? Why should you have anything to do with death? You say, well, I can't believe it. That's not Bible. The Bible said Enoch was translated that he should not see death because he refused to fellowship death. How did he do it? By faith. If he could do it by faith, why can't you do it by faith? Why can't I do it by faith? But Brother Pike, that won't never be. But Paul said this is a mystery. It will be. Behold, I show you a mystery. Not all of us is going to fellowship death. Not all of us is going to sleep. He said, some of us are going to be changed. Some of us is going to be changed. Brother, we're living in the hour of the finishing of the mystery. Paul said, I show you a mystery. The angel said, in the days of the voice, the mystery will be finished. The original rendering for the mystery is secret. You remember how we brought that out? The original rendering of the word mystery is secret. Behold, I show you a secret. The Bible said, he that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Behold, I show you a secret. The secret. Paul said, let me tell you about the secret. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the secret will be no more. There will be nothing else secret. Jesus said, in secret have I said nothing. In the days of the voice, there won't be any secrets. In Christ Jesus, there is no secrets. In Revelation 10 and 7, the angel said, when he sounds the voice, the mystery will be finished. Immediately, Revelation 11, 15, what happened? He sounded. Revelation 11, 15, the Bible said in 11, 15, the angel sounded. The last trump sounded. The voice of that last angel sounded. That last trumpeter sounded. When did he sound? The Bible said immediately a voice from heaven said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the Bible said, now has come strength, now has come power, because the accuser of our brethren that accused them night and day before God is cast down. How did he accuse them? How did he accuse them? How did he get in the presence of God? By grace. By grace, the blood on the seat of atonement. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, that means that people that are human beings, blood life, can go into the presence of God. That grace is here. It is a heaven. It is a second heaven. And as long as human beings can be in the presence of God, that means Lucifer, devils, and demons can live in the human body and be in the presence of God. But brother, when the blood comes off of the mercy seat, human beings cannot be in the presence of God. There'll be no more grace. That means no more heaven. That means no more devils in heaven. Because devils get in heaven by living in human bodies. Because human bodies have right to grace for a period of time. And that's heaven work. Grace is, that's heaven. That's the second heaven. Brother and sister, when that Pope got shot, it indicated the blood coming off of the mercy seat. Why did it indicate that? Because if the angel is sounded and the mysteries are finished, then if the angel is sounded and the mysteries are finished, when was that to be? In the end of the world. It was to be in the end of the world. You say, Brother Pike, what tells you that it was the end of the world? Because as quick as he sounded, he said that the kingdoms of this world have become our God and his Christ's kingdom. Which means that voice of 11:15 had to be in the end of the world. And he said, when this angel sounded, the mysteries was finished. And when the mysteries are finished, there was no more death. Because there was no more shatter. There was no more fear. There was no more complex. It was explained. It was made known. It was understood that he that is born of God cannot sin. There is no way he can sin. All of our lives, all we've ever known is one revival to another, to do better and to get better and to wind up in the same shape that we wasn't to start with. But brother, he that is born of God cannot sin. He cannot backslide. He cannot sin. I have healed your backslidings. Woe unto the backslider, for you're my wife. I'm married to you. You love Jesus. You cannot sin. I took it all away. You are perfected forever, not from one revival to another. You are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, when the church gets like that, Jesus will come back. Brother, the church got like that and Jesus did come back. The Lord has done His work. The Christ within the heart of mankind has redeemed His bride and took His bride and secretly stole her away in the darkness of the human reasoning. And now the hour is coming for that Jesus that goes back to that natural body of Jews to do His work. Amen. To get those Jews a nation born in one day. But the days of the Gentiles is at an end. Christ, Aaron in the chambers of the heart, of the innermost secrets of that holies of holies. He's done His work. He's finished His work in the heart of men. You say, how can you say He's finished His work, Brother Pike? Because it said, when the mysteries are finished, then time shall be no longer. There shall not be that little figment of shadow. There shall not be that little thing that's called death. That shadow of death that David spoke of. That's over the valley. There won't be anything between you and God. There is no death to a Christian. There is no sin to a Christian. Why should I not then reap the benefits of my Heavenly Father? If I was under tutors until the faith, and now that the faith has come, even for my day when there came a Calvary in my life, and I recognized the faith of Jesus Christ. If I've come to the bar mitzvah, am I not a son? I made the statement today, even David, my son's birthday, being 21 years old, indicates the bar mitzvah of coming into manhood, even with Brother Coon coming as it was. What does it mean? He that is born of God cannot sin. Listen, folks, and I'm going to close. Why is it that you take the outlook that you've sinned against God? How can you take the outlook that you've sinned against God when the Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin? Somebody would say, well, it don't mean that. Well, I'd love to know what it does mean. And the Bible said he that sinneth is of the devil. You say, but it don't mean that. Well, I'd love to know what it does mean. I say that when a man sins, he's of the devil. He's never been born again. Because if he'd been born again, he could not have sinned. There would have been no way he could have sinned. You love Jesus? Having passed from death unto life, even the second death, but now behold the mystery. It's finished. I show you mystery. We're not all going to sleep. Why? We're going to discover that man don't sin when he's born of God. And if he don't sin, how can he die? Brother, we're listening to an intellectual indoctrination so far as the ear is concerned. But if we'll take this and let it go down to thy heart, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. When he begins to believe with the heart, he believes unto life and to righteousness. And do it like Enoch did. I say this again, why did Enoch get translated and not die? And let me say this hurriedly in closing. Enoch will not die. I say this because of the problems that we have where they say that Enoch will come back. Enoch will not come back and die. I say again, Elijah and Moses will come back and die. But why will they come back and die? Because they were under the law. But Enoch was not under the law. Sin comes by the law. Enoch was before the law. And Abraham, the father of the faithful, 430 years before the law. Enoch took his faith before the law, and he didn't die because there was no sin. You understand what I'm saying? Now the Bible said sin or death, or that after the similitude of sin reigned over them all the way down from Adam to Moses. They died in like manner because they didn't use their faith. But it wasn't because it was a law of sin. There was no penalty against them. Enoch used his faith. He walked with God. He was not. He was translated by faith. God took him. Now listen, the Bible said God took him that he should not see death. If he comes back and dies, the scriptures is broken. He will not come back and die. Enoch cannot die. He cannot die. If he dies, the scriptures is broken. He was translated that he should not see death. God is no respecter person. Now look at us on this side of Calvary. This is the beautiful part about it. If Enoch on that side of Calvary was before the law and couldn't die, now then we're on this side of Calvary, we're after the law and we cannot die. The law stands between Calvary and the time back there of Moses. Anything on the other side of Moses was free from it. Anything on this side is free from it. If we're on this side of Calvary, then we're under grace. The law's folded up and laid away. We're not under the law. Therefore, we're just like Enoch. We can be translated by faith that we should not see death. I'm talking about the sleep. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. You don't have to sleep. Folks, we're not under the law. Why should we die? Death is the enemy of God, the last to be conquered. Isn't that right? But he said he shortened the days for the elect's sake. The conquering of death, the last to be conquered, means over there, the second death. There at the lake of fire, when God conquers it and the wicked come forth after the millennium. But we are in the first resurrection. The second death don't have any power over us. We passed from that death already by new birth. But folks, right now the mystery's here. We've unveiled the mystery, or God has to us. Therefore, we don't have to sleep. What we need to do is start enjoying this thing and that thing for the translation of the body like Enoch, that we might not be put in the dirt. I say again, what has age got to do with it? The body does not wear out at 60 and 70 years. It don't do it. Noah lived all them many years. Enoch lived all them many years. Methuselah, 800-900 years, which proves the body is not inferior. I made the statement just recently that the doctors have made this discovery, that if a bodily is properly taken care of, that it will live 150 years. It'll live on. If it'll live 150 years, why can't it live 250 years? While they've not discovered anything. We Bible scholars know it can live longer than that. Did you know that some of these psychics have just made a discovery? I read it a few days ago. They said that we have discovered that some men are not going to die because of the way they think. Psychics have said that. Surely we people can believe it. What kind of thinking have you got? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I'm satisfied with that, ain't you? Praise God. If God said we cannot sin, then why bother to believe anything else or think anything else? Hallelujah. You love Jesus? All right, let's stand together. The revelation of Jesus Christ, John said. The hour of his coming. How can he come? There ain't but one way he can come. And you say, Brother Pike, when can he come? Well, one thing, the Bible said he's coming after a bride without spot. I just proved to you that you keep yourself and the evil one touches you not. You've already been perfected forever. Can't sin. Is that right? You know, it's a poor Christianity. I know, because I done been down that trail. It's a poor Christianity of a saint that thinks that they are righteous. And they squirm like a rock, like a worm on a hot rock, trying not to do wrong, thinking that they're justified as the Jews was, and God's looking down, thinking that their righteousness is a filthy rag. And like the man that went up in the temple and said, I thank God that, you know, I thank God, he said, that I pay my tithes and I fast. God said, get out of here. He didn't say it in those words. He said, get out of here. That other man said, my God, have mercy on me. He said, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is sufficient for you. He said to that other, said, unless you've got better righteousness than what you're offering, you won't ever make it. Said, your righteousness has got to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. What is that? They fasted and they prayed. Said, you've got to have a greater righteousness. What is that righteousness? Going about to establish their own righteousness, they stumble at the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is by the faith of God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you're not going to be saved by your feeble scrambling around, scrouging around. You ain't never lived a good day in your life or a righteous day in your life. The Bible said all of your efforts was as filthy rags. That's all the righteousness you ever had was filthy rags.
He said, there's not one good, no, not any of you. All of you turned aside, every man's went to his own way. As it was in the days of Noah, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. But he said, he that is righteous even as he is righteous. He said, how can that be, Brother Pike? By accepting the righteousness of Jesus Christ and doing the very best you can to be holy and godly and pure. And then God accepts his righteousness. Jesus Christ is righteous in your behalf. And thus you're made holy through him and you become complete by the faith of Jesus Christ. You're sanctified in the sight of God. And he accepts you through the glory and strength of his own doings, the works that he manifested. Thus he himself lived the life in the body of Jesus and said, I accept you because of what I've done. Be ye therefore strong in the power of my might in what I've done. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Don't you worry about overcoming it. I've overcome it. You just have faith in me. You love Jesus. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I think I'll just do like I want to if it's all of God. No, that isn't it. You'll have to do like you want to. There ain't nothing else you can do. If you was born of God, you'd want to be like God. The fact that you want to do anything else proves that you just didn't get in the boat. Anybody that's born of God will act like God. How can you do anything but that which the nature within you commands you to do or constrains you to do? If you do any other way, it's positive proof that you don't have the nature of Jesus Christ. You couldn't be the predestinated. Therefore, you couldn't be those of his righteousness. Now, if we pass from death unto life, then like the vision I had out in Arizona, the devil is finished. Jesus said, I've destroyed him that hath power over death. You believe that? I believe that. I believe that God has destroyed him, that is Satan, that hath power over death. I believe that God destroyed him. I believe that he don't exist anymore to Christians. We are they that dwell in heaven, and he don't dwell in heaven. He's been kicked out. He said for us to rejoice, isn't that right? We that dwell in heaven, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice, for we are they that dwell in heaven. But now you that's got plans in the earth, woe unto the inhabitants of the body. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. For Lucifer is among you. That old carnal reasoning of yours is that infiltration of death, and to be carnally minded is to die. But you that want to get over the Jordan, just don't lean to your own understanding. Leave it back there. That old carnal mind is death from the fall in the garden. Come on over that thing into the Canaan land of the mind of God. Let's get over here where the grapes of Eshcolar. Let's leave that old mind of reasoning behind. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Believe what the promise says. 32,000 promises in the land of promise. The mind of Jesus. What a wonderful, exciting moment. The church is ready. She doesn't have a spot. She doesn't have a blemish. You can't prove that by the Bible. The Bible said, and the bride hath made herself ready. Somebody said, well, my, that's been there all the time. Before the world ever was instigated in the mind of God, at Calvary manifested, and that was confirmed. And today we're just finding out about it, comprehending it to get the benefits. You love Jesus, comprehended the heights, depth, the width, the length. So then she's without spot, she's without wrinkle, she's without blemish. She cannot die. She's arrayed in the garments of righteousness of the lovely Son of God. She is ready. The gospel must first be preached in all the world for a witness. It's gone to all the ends of the earth. Through the tail stars, through native evangelism, through the printed page in Africa, in India, every corner of the globe, the gospel has gone. Said, then shall the end come. And the Pope has been shot. The days of the Gentiles are ended. I understand they said, get out of Assyria, because there is no hope of stopping war between Syria and Israel. And we made the statement way back there when it started, so that's the rise of the Antichrist. It is for one purpose, and that is they will move in on Israel. Watch and see. That's what it's all about. And I said the seed of Gog and Magog will be Russia, that will work through Syria. They're after Israel. They're easing up on Israel. a little bit at a time. And brother, the Bible says, when you see the cities of Jerusalem or Israel compassed about with armies, said when you see all of them begin to rise up and take military action or defense toward Israel, when you see her compassed with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. The abomination that maketh desolate that Daniel spoke of standing in the holy place. Where is the holy place, Jerusalem? That's God's holy place. He said, Moses, move your shoes. The ground wherein thou standest is holy. That's God's holy place. God's temple is there. His holy place. The abomination. They, the intruders, Gog and Magog, the filthy infiltration. When you see them encroach upon the sovereignty of God, and they that curse Jacob to take his inheritance, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Brother, they're beginning to compass her about with armies. They're getting ready. They're threatening her. Why? Because that day is here. That day is here. Has God forgotten his saints? Has God forgotten to finish the mystery? Hath God forgotten that he made us a promise? Are we then the castaway? No. They that have eyes to see and they that have ears to hear. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Brother, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Let us walk circumspectively. Let us love Jesus. Let us be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit, loving God with all of our heart. Let us be engaged in his work. Blessed is he that I so find doing at my coming, I'll make him rule of all I got if I find him feeding my household. Let's feed his household. Let's feed his sheep. Let's occupy till he come. Blessed is he that I so find doing. You love Jesus? Let's sing a little chorus together. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. It's the signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. Oh, the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing with fear. You believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe that the day of the Gentiles is gone? Do you believe that the Gentile day is over? I really believe in my heart that the translation of the church has taken place and the work of God in the heart of man is finished. And I believe that the day of the redemption of the body of human beings is here. And that God is fixing to change the human body. I believe that we're on the verge of it. When the last one comes in, and they're coming in, someone said, Brother Pike, do you have to know the revelation to make the translation? No. But brother, you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to be a part of the translation. There are babies, there are mothers, there are fathers in the gospel, brothers and sisters. There are parents that lay up for the children. And when the parents take a trip, the children go with them. The babies go with them. All that are of the God family, though they be babes, they will go in the translation. But brother and sister, as sure as you live in this world, if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, If you don't have the baptism of God's Holy Ghost, you are not part of the God family, and you will not go in the translation. You will not. But you that have time to understand the things of God and do not try to understand them, it is a positive proof you do not have the Holy Ghost. For He will guide you and lead you into all truth and righteousness. And another thing, why would you want to be a babe in Christ? Why would you want to be a babe when the Bible said there's going to be kings, 24 elders, 12 kings sitting upon thrones? When I rule, ye shall rule with me. And He hath made us priests and kings unto our God, ruler over 10 cities, 5 cities. Why then should we want to be babes when we can develop and grow in His great love and knowledge to the full measure, the full stature, and become part of His government as leaders and powers and dignitaries out there in the God family and in the God world? Why do we want to lag back? Brother and sister, the very fact that you would want to lag back proves that you don't have the Holy Ghost. For even a babe in Christ has been caught up to the throne and has his mind on heavenly things and would like to grow if there was time left. You love Jesus. You love Jesus. All of us gets a penny though we enter the vineyard at the last hour, which means eternal life. But brother, there's rewards that differ. Even in hell, the man that does such and such shall receive the greater damnation. So then he that doth such and such shall receive the greater reward. And I press forward to the prize of the mark of that high calling, the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. For God hath dealt unto every man according to his measure. You love Jesus? As the song says, the days of the Gentiles are numbered. Numerical order system. But God don't like that system. Satan got after David and Israel because they resorted to the numerical system. God didn't like it. He said, David, I'm the majority. I took you as a shepherd boy. You whooped all the alien armies. You defeated all of them. I'm the majority. That's the way I get the glory. It's by the act of faith. Get in, you got too many men. Don't lean upon the arm of flesh. Give the glory to mankind. God must have the glory. I'll do it with a few. Fear not, little flock. Your Father will give you the kingdom. For yours is the kingdom. The law and the prophets till John, but yours is the kingdom. Greater is he that is in the kingdom than Isaac, Abraham, Moses, those back in that day, Elijah. For you're the body of God. You're the sons of God. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You're God's. They without us couldn't be made perfect. The only way they can come in is through us. Let's close our eyes for just a minute. And I want you to ask yourself this question now. See, ask yourself this question. Lord, is death really over at last? Can that angel really say that time shall be no more? How can he say time shall be no more? Where does that come from? Because the mysteries are finished. The veil is eradicated and there is no time except veil. If there's no veil, there's no time. If there's no time, there's no death. If there's no time, there's no death. Therefore, the veil is gone. The veil is gone. Human reasoning is taken out of it. You're covered with a covering, but it was not of my glory. It was that veil of death, Adam and Eve. You're naked in my sight. That old beast covering the skin that was put around you. That old flesh. But now you got on the body of Jesus Christ, the garment tried in the fire, the raiment that's been through
the flames of hell. You got on that body now. You got on that beautiful garment of Zion. You got on the wedding garment now. You cover with the covering of my glory, for he is the image of my glory. And when you awake in the morning, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, for we are complete in him. I've given you a garment now. You're not naked anymore. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the wedding garment. Should you come into my presence without it, you'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the lake of fire, into the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and wailing and mourning and gnashing of teeth. Ask yourself the question, am I a Christian? Have I been born again? Am I born of his bone and flesh of his flesh? Have I been buried in his lovely name? Am I resurrected in his likeness? Am I sanctified by his faith? Have I passed from death? Can I sin anymore? Is it I that's living? Or can I say with Paul, not I, but him that liveth in the life I now live? I live with the Son of God, Christ within me, the hope of glory. Am I confiding in faith that cometh by the hearing of the word? Or is my convictions on my ideas and feelings and indoctrinations and things that I think? What am I trusting in? His righteousness and my righteousness? Oh God, let me do all I can to be perfect and to be virtuous. But let me believe solely in his love and in his strength and in his righteousness, that I might meet him in the glory of his own love and perfection, and not in the strength of my own feeble way of life. Let's pray together. Father of heaven, in Jesus' name, tonight we love you. We thank you for your wonderful presence, for your inspiration, for the wonderful exhortation, Lord, from that cometh from heaven. As I feel the great Spirit of God, as I feel the great anointing of Jesus, sweep over this audience tonight. Sweep over this audience. Father, break that yoke over the audience. Move away the unbelief. Lord, for the truth shall set them free, and the anointing shall break the yoke. Break it. Let the Holy Ghost fall on these people. Oh God, even as Peter, when he spake to him down at Cornelius's, I can feel it falling, Father. Oh, Ramanda Ramashaya, I can feel the Holy Ghost. In the wonderful name of the lovely Son of God, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, Sweep Over My Soul. We sing this so often here and in the tent meetings. Let the Spirit of God sweep over your soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Bill, give me the other mic. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe.
evermore. Can you sing one more time now? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, it's all right. You can come on down. If you love Jesus, it's all right. You can come on down. Folks, we're free from sin. We're free from sin. You know, not to accept the fact that we are free from sin, did you know it's an insult to our Savior and to our God to count the blood of Jesus Christ of none effect as an unholy thing is an insult to the God of heaven. But we are free from sin. We cannot sin because we are born of God. You say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said if you say that you have not sinned, brother, we didn't say that we have not sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He saw that before the world ever was. But then he saved us from our sins. He forgave us our sins in Christ Jesus. And he took away our sins. And then we became born of God. And the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. He cannot sin. It is true that if we say that we have no sin, in that we're all born into sin, in that we're all born into sin, that is true. All born into sin. But when we are born again, we are born out of sin. It is true that we have sin when we're born into sin. But when we're born of God, we don't have any sin. We don't have any sin. How can you have sin when the Bible said you're born of God? The same one that says he that saith that he hath no sin is the same one that turned right around and said he that is born of God hath no sin. That same John that said he that saith he hath no sin is the same one that said he that is born of God cannot sin. You love Jesus. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to pray for this little baby. And I want y'all to pray with me if you will. You brethren, let's pray for the little baby. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of the Son of God, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. And I feel faith from hearts that cannot sin. I feel faith from hearts that cannot sin. For my God, how can we believe, Lord, if we sin? For Lord, you said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And Lord, he that sinneth is of the devil. How can we believe if we be of the devil? But God, we're not of the devil. Father, we've not sinned. Thou hast freed us from sin. Therefore, we believe in the righteousness of the Son of God. And by his righteousness, we are free from sin. Father, heal this little baby. Heal it. Meet the needs in the name of the Son of God. Work a miracle, Jesus. Work a miracle in the name of the Son of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, bless this little baby and heal this little baby in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little body in the name of Jesus. Work a miracle in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, touch this dad in Jesus' name. Work a miracle in his life, Father. Dear God, touch our brother Coon tonight. Lord, work a miracle in his life. Let the great loving Holy Ghost of God, in the name of the Son of God tonight, let that Holy Ghost live in this body. Rule and reign, and let the mighty anointing of Jesus be upon this body. Oh, hallelujah. Break every yoke. Move every transgression. Lord, for in thee there is no sin. Hallelujah, for there is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, I feel your anointing, Father. Hallelujah.
My left hip is deteriorating and my legs are just no good. I feel resurrected in my soul, but my body needs prayer.
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, this is the hour of restoration. Lord, Brother Kuhn preached the hour of restoration this morning. Lord, in the power of God and the healings of the body. For Lord, you said you'd restore that the cankerworm got. Lord, the years the caterpillar got. And the hour of restoration is here. The hour of resurrection is here. The hour of inheritance is here. By faith, the saints are ready to claim the health of their body, the healing of their body, the strength of their body. Dear God, the lost members of their body, they're ready to claim it. They're ready to conquer death by faith in the name of the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Father, reach out by your mighty hand tonight in the name of the Son of God, Jesus. In the name of the Son of God, I want you to reach out by your power tonight and heal. God bless Tony tonight. Give him a special anointing. Father, give him words of wisdom to speak, Lord, when he's in the areas of Louisiana, Lord, that he might speak to his people. Dear God, in the mighty name of Jesus, break every yoke. Hear from heaven and heal our lands in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, by your Spirit, reach out. Lord, touch Gracie tonight. May the mighty hand of God be here. Oh, hallelujah. I feel your anointing, Father. And I feel the faith of restoration tonight to heal and forgive in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. May your Spirit be upon her tonight in the name of the Lord. Fill her with the Holy Ghost. Unite her and her companion in the might of God to do a great work for thee. Lord, I feel faith in this heart. Lord, heal, save, forgive, protect in Jesus' name. Father, touch in the name of the Lord Jesus this body. Heal and save and forgive. Oh, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, as I feel your presence, touch this little baby in the name of Jesus, Father. Touch these children as they're standing here tonight. Touch them in Jesus' name. May the hand of God be upon them. Father, touch this sister. Let the hand of God be upon her tonight. Dear God, there's a great thing that's breaking forth in the land. Father, they that are believing, they that can reach up, they that can use their faith, Lord, are partakers of this divine benefit. May it be so among our people tonight. May the great power of God be here tonight. Answer this prayer. Remember this request concerning this son, Father. Oh God, thou that seest the heart of all mankind, answer this prayer, Jesus, in your name tonight. May it be so, Father, in the lovely name of Jesus. Touch these bodies. Father, give a restoration not only of soul tonight, but a restoration of the body. May the healing of the body be here tonight. May the deliverance of the body be here tonight. May they be healed in Jesus' name. May the great Spirit of God come upon them. May the blessings of God reach out tonight. May everyone feel the presence of that lovely Son of God. Jesus, you said if two or three would come together, Lord, that you'd be in the midst of us. And dear God, we feel you here tonight. In the midst of us, oh God, heal tonight, save and forgive. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, may your Spirit be here tonight, Lord, to heal and to save and forgive. May your Spirit be here. May every yoke be broken, every sin be forgiven. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, bless these little ones. Fathers, I lay hands upon them. May they be blessed in the name of Jesus. Bless little Joshua in the name of Jesus, Father. Bless our brother Conrad in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God be here tonight. Lord, as I feel faith, as I feel the anointing of the Son of God here tonight, as I feel your power, oh God, in Jesus' name, give a double portion in Jesus' name tonight. May your Spirit be here tonight, Jesus. May the power of God be here tonight. as I lay hands upon these people. Oh, Jesus, grant it tonight, even a double portion, Jesus, grant it. Grant it in the name of Jesus tonight. May your spirit reach out. Oh God, I feel your restoration. Bless our brother, Father, in a great way in Jesus' name tonight. Touch these little ones in Jesus' name as I lay hands upon them. Father, touch their little bodies in Jesus' name tonight. Father, may the blessings of the Lord be upon them. Suffer the little children to come unto you. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, bless Brother Richard. May the great hand of God be upon him. May the power of God break every yoke. Lord, for eternity is before us. God, in Jesus' name, touch this brother. May the power of God be upon him. May life be in him tonight. Jesus, as we awake tonight, as the midnight cry comes forth, may we awake, Lord, to that great, wonderful challenge of God. May they all be within our vessels. Father, tonight, may it be even so as we look to heaven, as we look to God, knowing that you are here present with us, that you're helping us, Lord, and that whoever we bless will be blessed. Oh God, you said whoever we bless would be blessed. I ask you to bless these people tonight. Lord, we bless them in the name of Jesus tonight. We bless them in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, we lay hands upon them and we bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said if we bless them, they would be blessed, Father. And whatever we bind on earth, that you would bind it in heaven. We're asking you in Jesus' name, Father, to bind these things in heaven tonight. Bless these people. May a great blessing follow them. May there be a great undertaking in their lives. May things happen to them, Father, such as has never happened before. Let the Spirit of God rest upon them tonight. Lord, as they come forth to be prayed for tonight, may the great Spirit of God be upon them. Lord, looking for that redemption, looking for that change, looking for that forgiveness that's in Christ. Lord, may it be so tonight in Jesus' name. Father, touch this brother tonight in the name of Jesus. Bring peace in the home, happiness, unity, God of the Spirit. Oh, mighty God of heaven, may it be so in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight, may every brother be blessed. May the power of God rest upon these people. May they find peace and may they find strength. May they find happiness. May there be a new life, oh God. Even this day, Father, knowing that it's a special time of the moving of your Spirit, may there be peace, God, and may there be strength in the lives of these people. Father, to heal, to save and forgive. Lord, that there be the blessings of God. May this blessing be here for this brother. Oh God, may the anointing of God be upon him. Lord God, to say something in thy behalf. In Jesus' name, oh God, may your blessings be upon Johnny. Let the Spirit of God be upon him tonight. Oh Lord, let your Spirit rest upon him in Jesus' name to bring him the blessings of God. Hallelujah, Lord, reach out with your Spirit tonight. Touch Jimmy, Father, in Jesus' name tonight. May thy Spirit rest upon Jimmy. May the power of God be upon Jimmy. Oh God, may he have the blessings that he desires. May you move in his life in the way that he desires. And Lord, as he tries to do whatever he can here on the home front, bless him in a mighty way. Enlarge his life, his understanding, and his ministry in Jesus' name. Father, bless Brother Carroll tonight. May he be blessed in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your Spirit be upon him tonight. Lord, as he looks to thee for guidance and understanding, may the great Spirit of God be his leader tonight. Let there be a great leadership, O God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Father, bless this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God be upon her tonight. Lord, to bless her, to lead her, to guide her. Help her to be spiritual and have that great understanding of God. Lord, that fellowship that can only come from Jesus. Bless her in Jesus' lovely name tonight. Bless the little ones in Jesus' name tonight. As I lay hands upon them, touch them in Jesus' name tonight, Father. Touch the little sister in the lovely name of the Son of God tonight. May the Spirit of God rest upon them. Deliver them from death, oh God. Deliver them from death. Father, deliver them from death in Jesus' name. Let the glory of God be here. Father, deliver from death tonight. May the blessings of God be here. May we recognize tonight the wonderful blessings of God to know that we are free from death. Oh, Ramando Riando Rabo Shida Bariando Rabasando Ramosiah. Oh, hallelujah. Uramando Riando Rabasita Ramando Riando Ramo Shida Bariando Ramosiah. Hola Masialamo Shida Bariando Ramosiah. Uramando Ramando Riasanda Rabo Sandra Masiata. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Move by your spirit tonight. Move by your power tonight, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name, in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Move by your power. Heal this body. Forgive the sin. Oh God, help her to draw close. Lord, the days draw nigh. Oh, Ramanda Rama Shida Baranda Rama Sida Baranda Rama Saya. Andari Andaramu Sandra Mandara Siata Ramasaya Ola Mandali Andaramu Shida Bari Andaramandra Basita Ramandra Bastaya. Heal and save and forgive in the name of the Son of God tonight. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name tonight, Father. May your spirit be upon this sister tonight. May the glory of God be here. Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus, help her not to be afraid. Father, to take courage, to believe in Jesus. Hallelujah, to believe in Jesus. Touch this sister tonight. Help her to believe in Jesus tonight. Father, our help comes from the healed of God, and our strength comes from Jesus tonight. No ramando ramando riarabo shida barando ramasita ramando ramasaya. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus tonight. Oramando riando ramosando ramasaya. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, I feel you speaking to hearts tonight. Deliver in Jesus' name, deliver in Jesus' name, Father, in the name of the Son of God tonight, in the name of Jesus, may the mighty Holy Ghost work in our life, in our heart. May we be spiritual, Jesus. God, may every yoke be broken in this life. May the disappointment, God, of this mind be taken away. Help him, oh God, to realize the blessings of the Lord. And Father, let us not say that we are a dry tree. For, oh dear God, thou desirest fruits in our lives. And you'll bless in Jesus' name. I ask you to bless in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, may these people be filled with thy spirit, filled with thy blessings, and filled with thy Holy Ghost. Oh God, as I feel your anointing tonight, may the blessings of God be here. May the Spirit of God be upon this person. God, in the name of Jesus tonight, may your spirit come near. Holy Father, in the name of the Son of God, and every yoke be broken by your great spirit, by your great power, by your mercies, the bowels of your kindness, in the name of the Son of God. Father, touch this body in Jesus' name tonight. Let the glory of God be here. Lord, may the glory of God fill the temple. Oh God, as we stand upon our watch tonight to hear what you'll say to us, Almighty God of heaven. Father, touch these bodies in Jesus' name, in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight. Father, touch these bodies. May healing be here. May deliverance be here tonight. May the salvation of God be here. Lord, may you stretch out your hand tonight upon these people. Lord God, knowing that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Father, may there not be anything within our heart. May everything be uncovered. Oh, Jesus, that we might rest within thee tonight. Bless us in the lovely name of Jesus. Bless little Jonathan tonight. Lord, as he trembles in your presence, in Jesus' name tonight. Bless and heal in Jesus' name and restore. Father, may the healings of God be here tonight. The deliverance of God be here tonight. Lord God of heaven, thou art the healer, thou art the Savior, thou art the forgiver of all mankind. Lord, you said, in these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh God, in Jesus' name we ask you to heal and save. Father, touch Paul tonight in the name of Jesus. May healing be in this body. May deliverance be in this body. May the great, wonderful blessings of God be upon this body tonight. May your great spirit be here. Your deliverance for the power of God that I feel in my heart and life tonight, Father. May everyone be blessed tonight. Lord, may they go away receiving a blessing tonight. In Jesus' name, may the blessings of God be upon this body tonight. May every heart receive blessing, oh God, and forgiveness in Jesus' name. Lord, as we lay hands upon them tonight, I ask for their blessings. I ask for their deliverance. I ask for their healing. Deliver and heal. May your spirit be here, oh God, in Jesus' name. As I feel the anointing breaking the yoke tonight, may they receive the anointing tonight. Lord, for the anointing will break the yoke. Heal and save and forgive in Jesus' name. Touch this body and heart in Jesus' name. May the healing of God be here. May the deliverance of God, Father, to heal and forgive in Jesus' name tonight. Touch these little bodies in Jesus' name. Touch these little ones in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, touch this heart and body in Jesus' name tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord be here. May there be healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Touch these bodies and hearts tonight. May there be deliverance and healing in Jesus' name tonight, Father. May thy spirit break every yoke. Oh God, as you look down from heaven tonight, hear in Jesus' name, Father, as we pray for these people. Touch these hearts in Jesus' name and heal. Touch these little ones in Jesus' name tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus, Father. Touch these bodies and heal, oh God. Father, may there not be a sickness among us, Father. May every sickness be removed from these people. May there be no sickness in these bodies tonight. Lord, I believe with all of my heart, God, that you're moving every sickness out of these bodies tonight. I believe that, Jesus, in your name, as I lay hands upon them, I believe that all sickness, God, is going to leave this church and leave these bodies. I believe in Jesus' name, Father, that every evil spirit and power that's oppressing the mind will leave. Father, give strength for these nerves. Give strength for this mind. Dear God, give faith, give contentment, give understanding, perseverance in the name of the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Father, tonight, touch this body. Lord God, give encouragement tonight. God, give a vision tonight. Oh, in Jesus' name tonight, Father, to heal these bodies, to forgive and save tonight. Father, as I feel these people drawing the wonderful virtue of Jesus Christ, I ask you to heal tonight, save and forgive. Heal, may thy spirit be here. May you touch their hearts. Dear God, may they feel the presence of God, for I know that you're healing tonight, Father. Lord, heal my sister. Make her strong and healthy. Hallelujah. Yea, in the name of Jesus, I say unto thee tonight to take courage, for the Lord is walking with thee, and thou hast become victorious, and thou hast become triumph. Yea, because thou hast dared to trust the Lord thy God, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, thou hast come through the dark shadows of night, and the day is before thee. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Can you love Jesus tonight? Can you love Jesus? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I feel you healing tonight. I feel you forgiving tonight. I feel you delivering tonight, Father, by your power, by your spirit. God, healing is here tonight. Deliverance is here tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I feel you touching these bodies and hearts tonight. May thy spirit be with us, O God. Father, heal tonight. Father, save tonight. Forgive tonight. Let there be a fountain open in the house of David. Oh, Oh, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, we're looking unto Thee, Lord, from whence our strength cometh. God, Thy word tonight, Lord, is our strength, our buckler, our shield. And oh, God, heal and save and forgive. In the name of Jesus tonight, as I lay hands upon these people, I feel You healing. These people are going to be made whole, Jesus. These people are going to be healed and delivered, God. These people are going to be blessed. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, for whoever we bless, You said You would bless them. And Father, we bless them in the name of Jesus tonight. For Lord, how can we curse that which You've blessed, oh God, in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. I ask You to bless in Jesus' name. Father, lay hands up, as I lay hands upon these people, Father, lay Your hand upon them, Your mighty hand of perfection and healing. Oh God, to bring deliverance. Touch Joe tonight. Encourage his faith tonight. Help him to look up to Thee tonight. Father, to be spiritual, oh God, to feel that wonderful presence of God. Bless our brother Morris tonight. Touch him in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, with encouragement, may his faith be lifted up. Father, for I feel a great blessing coming from God. I feel Your blessings coming tonight. Oh, dear God, I look in the direction of the blessings of heaven. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, I feel You blessing these people tonight. Lord God, You want to bless Your people. Father, it's Your will to bless Your people tonight. Bless in Jesus' name tonight. Help them to believe, God, that You've delivered them from sin. God, that You've delivered them from death tonight. God, they don't have to die tonight. Lord, they don't have to be sick tonight. God, they can be whole and be healthy in Jesus' name tonight. Father, they can have healing tonight and deliverance tonight. Peace and joy and victory in Christ tonight. Heal, dear God, and deliver in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight. Let this great spirit that I feel here tonight sweep over us, Father. May the healing of God be upon these sisters as I pray for them tonight. May they be healed in Jesus' name. May every heartache be moved. Father, may every need be supplied. May they find peace, dear God. May they find deliverance. May they find satisfaction. May they find the fullness of the Holy Ghost tonight. The glory of God, let it fill the house tonight. Father, touch these little ones in Jesus' name as I lay hands upon them in the name of the Lord. Heal in Jesus' name and deliver in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, I feel a great, wonderful blessing coming, Father. I feel the great, wonderful moving of Your spirit. Hallelujah. Let this sister take courage tonight. Lord, as You've spoken and said, Lord, as You promised, so shall You do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Touch her in Jesus' name tonight. Let the Spirit of God rest upon this little sister to take courage in Jesus' name. Father, may Your blessings rest upon this sister, Lord, as I pray for her. May she take courage and be used greatly of the Lord in the things that You've ordained in her life. Touch the little one. May the Spirit of God be upon them, Father. May none of them go, Lord, away from here tonight without being healed or without being blessed, without being encouraged. May they receive the blessing of the Lord tonight. Touch them as I lay hands upon them. May they be healed and may they be delivered. May the blessings of God be upon them. May they come forth, Lord, with blessings and strength like they've never had before. I ask You to bless them tonight in a great way, Father. Bless Brother Hollis tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I feel the anointing, Father, and the faith of this brother tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I know You've got something good in store for him. I can feel his faith in God tonight. Heal and save and forgive in the wonderful name of the Son of God. Father, bless this brother tonight. May there be a blessing. Oh, dear God, there's an abundance of rain. Lord, I feel Your anointing tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon Brother Bill. May the power of God be here. In the name of Jesus, may the blessings of God be upon him. touch little David in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, may Tom be blessed tonight. May your spirit be upon him. May the glory of God be here. Lord, may every yoke be broken. Give him that vision that he longs for in his heart. That strength, that determination, that perseverance, that outlook, that vision in Jesus' name tonight, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, bless these people tonight. The name of Jesus, Father, may thy spirit be upon this sister, Lord, to anoint and deliver. And dear God, the problems of her children, Father, may they vanish away into nothing. May she continue to believe and continue to pray. For, oh God, we can overcome the evils of this world with good. Father, in Jesus' name, may the blessings of God be upon this sister tonight. May the blessings of God be upon them, Lord, as you touch them. Lord, the troubles of the home of this sister, may they vanish away into nothing. For dear God, you said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to the purpose. And dear wonderful God, thy blessings is going to be upon this sister, and you're going to help her and you're going to strengthen her, Lord. God of heaven, give her strength. Give her blessings. Break this yoke. Move the doubt. Move the fear. Move the despondency. Move the worry. Move the loneliness, oh God. Lord, and let her be victorious in faith in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. May the blessings of the Lord be upon her tonight. May you touch her in a great and a mighty way by your spirit in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this little one, and oh God, touch this sister. May your spirit be upon her. And oh God, may she be lifted up above all the grief and the trouble and the worries and the complex of life. Father, to be victorious and be a testimony, to have faith in Jesus' name. And Father, bless this sister tonight. Help her, dear God, to be lifted out of every problem and every doubt, every fear and every complex, knowing that there is a new day that is dawning now. And oh, Ramando Riarobo Shida Barandoromo Sandra Messiah, Urama Riaromo Shah. Father, in the name of Jesus, may she be able to enter into the glories of the brightness of the dawning of this new day in Jesus' wonderful name. Father, tonight, touch Brother Chuck tonight. Heal this body, Father. Put life into these limbs tonight. Make him to walk again, Father. Make him to enjoy the blessings of God and restore this, Lord, that the cankerworm has got and the years that the locust has taken away. And let this feeling, Lord, that's coming into these legs continue to grow. May it be stronger, Father, greater in a more definite way, Lord, that he might receive the benefits. Encourage his faith tonight. Help him to know, Lord, that he's delivered from sin, delivered from death, and oh God, he has a right to the power of God and the restoration of his life. Heal in Jesus' name. Touch these little bodies as we lay hands upon him. Father, touch Brother Keys tonight in the name of Jesus. Deliver him from every yoke, from every bondage, everything that would hinder tonight. I ask you to deliver in the wonderful name of Jesus. May he find the victory he's looking for, Father. Lord, touch David tonight in the name of Jesus. Free him from every rebellion, from everything that falls across his path. Father, from every deceit, every wrong, and help him to be honest with thee, Jesus. Knowing that the power of God is resting in his life and the direction of thy spirit is for him. Lord, touch Freddie tonight. Lord, may he be strong. May he and his companion, Father, be strong in the power and the might of God to be a blessing and to be a light, to do something for Jesus. Oh God, may your spirit be with him in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch Jerry. May the power of God be upon Jerry tonight. May there be no more hurting. Lord, may there be no more restlessness. May there be no more oppression. Dear God, lift it and change his entire life, his entire state of being, Father. Lord, move through this body. I feel your restoration tonight. I feel your blessing tonight. The wonderful name of the Son of God. Bless these little ones tonight in Jesus' name, Father. As I lay hands upon them, bless them in Jesus' name. Touch Sister Anna tonight. Heal and deliver tonight. Father, may the worries of life, God, pass her by. And may she find that peace, Lord, that
Lord God, that passeth all understanding. Lord, the great peace of God. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name, I feel strength for Sister Anna. Father, touch this body in the name of Jesus tonight. May there be power in this life, God, to overcome. May there be power to witness and testify and to perform the duties of Christ, Lord, that you've appointed unto Sister Faye. May it be so in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, may she unite with her companion tonight in strength, oh God, Lord, that they might do a work for thee. May everything, Lord, that would entice her concerning the things of this world, may they flee away into nothing. And may she realize the recompense and reward of the greater treasure. Oh God, for the labor that is in Christ Jesus, I feel you blessing her right now. May your Spirit live in her life. Father, touch this sister. May the Spirit of God live in this life tonight. And may the great inspiration of God help this sister to continue her work. Oh God, to be settled in peace and to believe. I feel the yoke broken in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister. Lord, Sister Beachy has overcome by faith and she's been victorious. And dear God, help her to continue to believe. All things are possible to them and believe, Father. Help her to continue to believe in Jesus' name. Father, touch this body in the name of the Lord tonight. Heal in Jesus' name tonight. May your spirit break every yoke. May you move everything out of this life that's unlike Jesus. Lord, to heal and to unite with her companion tonight. Father, to do a work for Christ. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord, rebuke thee tonight. I charge thee in the name of the Son of God to take your hands off of this sister in Jesus' name tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch this body tonight. May your spirit be here tonight. May the power of God be upon this sister in Jesus' name. Touch the little one in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. May your spirit be upon her and heal her in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me tonight. You know what? I felt Jesus tonight. And I felt God healing tonight. And you know, I don't always feel faith the way I'd like to feel it here at the tabernacle. But there's times when I do feel it in a great way. But I do feel one thing, and that is the concern that you have for your soul. I feel that tonight. And I know that you're concerned, and I know that you believe. You can be sure that God's healing. God is healing. God is healing. He's blessing. Every now and then somebody on the home front will come and say, Brother Pike, God has healed me. I've been suffering with such and such a thing and God has delivered me. I've been oppressed by such a spirit and God has delivered me. And then we get letters from different ones where there's healings. I mentioned here the other night the woman that got healed of cancer. And had the operation anyway, and it come up negative. So then God is still healing. He's healing here. He's healing abroad. We get some beautiful letters. We get some wonderful testimonies. Brethren that go out on the job in different places, carry handkerchiefs and different things, and they come back with great testimonies. God is doing a wonderful work. But you know what? God is going to do even more in a greater way. There's going to be a sweep of healing through the land. You know, not too long ago, we made the statement that there was going to be a sweep of healing through the land. How many remember that? You remember when I said the joy of the Lord's going to return to the church? How have you noticed a difference since that time? If you haven't, don't raise your hand. But if you have, raise your hand. There's been a difference. Isn't that right? There's going to be greater joy coming to the church. And there's going to be a sweep of healing. People's feel their faith is going to begin to rise and the tide is going to get higher And there's going to be a sweep of healing. The reason is because there's a new thing that's coming forth in the land. So there's going to be a new stimulation, a new understanding, a new awakening, and a new drive. You know, you can't enjoy it like you want to until you get out in the tent meetings. It's like in Macon when you saw those people there being healed and those hungry hearts and the way the prodigals was making a fuss over it. It tore some of you up and you just felt like you was getting left out and you had to press in. Isn't that right? Because a lot of times when you stay home and you have plenty of food on the table, you forget and you get careless and you have to get off to where there's not any food. And then it's when you begin to get hungry. Like it was said to Brother Branham, your people won't eat any longer. So he left and he went away. They had food all the time. He had to leave and go away till they could get hungry. But you know what? We don't have to be like that. Did you know it? The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. We can keep a hungry heart and a thirsty heart and we'll be filled. I've thought a lot of times, I've said it within my heart. I said, oh God, my heart panteth after thee as the heart does the water brook. So many times my heart has cried out in prayer. My heart panteth after thee, oh God, even as the heart does after the water brook. So then tonight, let's hunger and let's thirst. Let's move up in faith because, folks, great things is coming and some people are not going to sleep. You can believe it or not, but there's some people that's not going to sleep. They're going to bypass the grave, and I like the idea of it myself. I like that idea. I'm glad I learned that God don't have fellowship with death, ain't you? I'm glad I learned about that. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Did you know that Jesus never did have any fellowship with death? Never. Wherever he met death and sickness, he defied it, he defeated it. Isn't that right? You say, but he died. But did you know he transfigured and appeared in glory before he ever done that? He didn't have to die to get into glory. He just come back and died for me so I could get into glory. Isn't that right? Praise God. So if he died for me and tasted death for me, what's the need of me dying? I don't care nothing about it. Do you? Let's sing a little chorus together now. The Lord is with us tonight. You know why he's with us? Because there's a fountain open in the house of David. Let's sing that song, a stream is flowing, can we? A stream is flowing from Calvary. A stream is flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, the stream is flowing from Calvary. Sing it again, can you? That stream is flowing from Calvary. That stream is flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, a stream is flowing from Calvary. Hallelujah. Don't you feel God? Can't you feel Jesus tonight? Something so beautiful is happening. You know, tomorrow, it may be that we have to leave and go down to Sarasota. Down there, try one more time to get the boat ready to where we can do something for Jesus, you know, in another way. But here on the home front, that is to say, if we go down there and we don't get back until the Olive Branch meeting, whereas we probably will, but should we not get back on the home front, we should rejoice. We should have a good time.
We should joy in the Lord. My, what a day, what a time, what an hour, what an understanding. Did you know that never in the history of mankind, never, there's no record in the colleges, in the religious walk of life, never anywhere in the pages of history has it ever been known, not at any time, that men ever had the understanding that you've gotten this age. Never. Never. The great, wonderful knowledge of God now is made known to the church. The manifold wisdom of the Almighty God. You say, what good is that to the church, Brother Pike? My words are spirit and they are life. To know them means to never die. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, he hath passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. Brother, to have words of life, to know the understanding of God, is to believe unto eternal existence. To know the thoughts of God is to believe unto eternal existence. If you know the thoughts of God, the words of God, the thoughts of God, and believe in them, then they become spirit, quickening your fibers of your body, your mortal genetics, to where from glory to glory you are changed into immortality. What a wonderful thought tonight. We're not people that are waiting for what we call the rapture. For I say again, there ain't no such thing as the word rapture in the Bible. It's not there. That's misleading. But we are changed from glory to glory. Transformated, translated by the Spirit of God into the kingdom of God. Transformated from glory to glory in our minds into the mind of Jesus Christ. And transfigured in our body by Thessalonians changed into the likeness of the glorious image of the Son of God. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thing tonight. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him? How many of you are really going to believe what we're preaching? You know, the Bible said the Jews had the word, but not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard it. Paul just shook his raiment and said, I go to the Gentiles. Your blood be upon your own head. But folks, don't let it be said of us at Bethlehem. Don't let it be said of us at Bethlehem that we do not believe. Let's not have that evil heart of unbelief. If Jesus said it, I believe it. If God says we're free from sin, we're free from sin. We are not sinners. We are saints. How many of you believe we are saints? We are saints. Glory to God, we are saints. A saint is something that don't sin. That's why it's a saint. It's because it don't sin. Isn't that right? Let's sing one more chorus together before we go. We sang the song, I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving because Jesus made me glad. Brother, sister, Jesus will make you glad. Did you know that? Now you're going to have to shove over a little bit. More people are going to be coming. More people are going to be coming. So you're going to have to shove over just a little bit. But let's sing it. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And I'll say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. Gone to enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Gonna enter his gates with praise. Gonna say this is the day that my Jesus has made. I'm gonna rejoice for he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice for Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice for Jesus made me glad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, you couldn't help but be glad if you believe what I said tonight. If you really, truly know that you'll never sin again, never no more, how could you be anything but glad? Oh, my brother, when you get to believing that in your heart, somebody said, but I just can't believe that, Brother Pike. But the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If he thinks he is sinless by the blood of Jesus, so he is. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Gerald Whitlow to come over here as we sing this one more time now. And I want you to sing this with me. Gerald, come on. I want you to sing it with me now. If you believe what I said tonight, if you really believe in your heart what I said tonight, you will be glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm gonna enter his courts with praise. And I'll say this is the day that my Jesus has made. I'm gonna rejoice for he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice for he hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice for he hath made me glad. One more time. We're gonna enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're gonna enter his courts with praise. And we'll say this is the day that my Lord hath made.